Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. If you're just joining us, welcome to Hour 2 of the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday, November the 14th, episode number 115 of the Rod Peterson Show, coming to you from the bunker in Western Canada, where we're getting above zero heading into the weekend. CFL Division Final weekend. And that's what we're talking about today. Just a little bit of business to take care of first. We have a contest rolling. Our producer, Clark, has asked you, the viewer, to like and share the Facebook post. Go to our Facebook page. A lot of you are on it. Share something. That's what Clark's telling me. He will randomly give away these original 16 beer glasses from our friends at Great Western. Coming up on this hour as well, Kelly Bates, BC Lions offensive line coach. But it's our honor to welcome back to the program Ivan Goodfriend, Hall of Fame rider, therapist, the pride of Leader Saskatchewan, right, Ive?
That's right.
Pull that mic right in there if you don't mind. Yeah.
All right.
Yes. How you doing, Ive?
Good. Real good.
It's an exciting time of year.
Yes, it is. It always is when playoff time rolls around. And, you know, the grind of the full season is gone because it is a grind. But so every game is important, obviously. And players are really up for it for the most part. I mean, all the little nicks and bruises are a non-factor, and obviously there are some people, as you've mentioned before, that are dealing with some major things probably, and so you have to deal with those as they come by.
Well, we got a lot of things to get to. It's just me and Ive here for a while. So before we get into the Fajardo stuff and your thoughts on the matchups, yesterday was a fun day down at Mosaic Stadium yesterday with your good friend George Reed.
Yes, it
Tell
was.
Me about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, there was quite a few people there, and I it was in the ticket office, so it's a fairly spacious place. But I think it's well deserving, you know, what George has done not only for the football team but for the whole community and for the province of Saskatchewan. So I think it's a fitting tribute to him, and I commend the riders in the city of Regina for doing that.
Well, it looked great. It's George Reed Way. And now when anybody looks up the address of Mosaic Stadium, it'll say 1734 George Reed Way. And if you go to any, you know, major U.S. stadium or arena, it's usually named after a great in those places.
Yes, it
you
is.
Know, like Dallas, for instance, Tom Landry Way or something like that. So it's going to look real good. And congrats to George. And the other question I had for you is your history working with George as a player? You came in at a time that some pretty good years for George.
Well, yes, and my first year was 1970. Sandy Archer had asked me to help him at training camp, and obviously I was impressed when I left there that training camp, and a lot of the people back when I was living in Saskatoon at the time asked me what I thought the team would do this year. I said I think they're going to probably win above 14 games, and as it turned out, they were 14-2 that year, and obviously they were in first place. So as somebody mentioned previously, I mean, first place doesn't come easy around here, but that certainly was one.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was great. It was great seeing all the players from that era. I mean, there's a lot of great ones, as you know, and most of them are in the Plaza of Honor and the CFL Hall of Fame. And so it is nice to visit that and think about the old times.
Very, very important to me to honor the past, remember the past, and respect the people that built the new place.
Right.
Right? And I know you feel the same way.
Oh, yes. Yes, I know that George touched upon a thing that he said when he first got here. I can't remember what year it was, 63, 64 in that area. Anyways, he said when he saw the locker room, he said, "What the hell am I doing here?" Because there's two potbelly stoves in there. And obviously it was renovated before. My first year was 78 full time. And they had just renovated it shortly before that. But it was at the Queensbury down that area there where the silver where the silver saloon, whatever it is. And of course, we had the bus over to the stadium every game day, which is only two blocks, but that's where we started, and we practiced in the infield of the
horse track,
and the Selkies would practice there about the same time of the day that we would go out to practice. And of course, every day somebody had to remind somebody, watch the Selkies. And of course, about twice a year, somebody always got hit by one of the.
You want to know a wild story? Jack Gota, former Rider player and coach.
Yeah.
Became my uncle. He hit
His what would become his wife, Joni, she was riding a horse around the track and she hit him. They ended up getting married and would go on to be my uncle. Is that wild or what?
Yeah, that is.
Yep. Love happens.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will say something here. Like, I have to remind myself, I don't feel that old, Ivan, but I brought up last week about how the NFL bailed out the CFL and the Riders in 97, and so many of our viewers and listeners said they had no idea that happened. Tell us the story. Goodness. And I had to get Shepard to tell it on In the Huddle, which he did. But my point here about history is I just have to re-educate people, not to mention that the bulk of our viewers here are aged 25 to 34.
Right.
Ivan and I, for a long time, did an interview, which I didn't start. Jeff Currier did, my predecessor, called from the trainer's room with Ivan Goodfriend, and I would interview on the pregame show, and you would talk about injuries. And I have often thought since, we'd never be able to do that anymore, right? With the secrecy of injuries.
Oh, right, right. True.
Did you ever have to deal with that with coaches?
Well, you know the coach, well, obviously you couldn't give the exact nature of a lot of the things, but you wouldn't just say it's an upper body injury or a lower body injury. You would say something, and obviously you wouldn't try and put a spin on it that was as serious as it was. But you're right, though. I mean, in this day and age, coaches are a little more cognizant of the fact that they don't want to tell the world, especially the other team, you know, what problems that you do have, and you try not to do that. But at the same time, I mean, if a player is not playing, I mean, people would like to know what the problem is. It doesn't have to be, you know, the extent of the nature of the injury. But I mean, they should know that this player is not playing because of this or whatever.
Fair. But would you not say that the pro football has become way, way, way more guarded in that area than it?
Yes.
Or the CFL? Because the NFL, you can't for betting purposes.
That's right. You can't.
Right. And so can you talk about that? Because that's your area of the game.
Well, the thing is, if somebody has a serious injury, for example, Darian Durant when he tore his Achilles. I mean, you're not going to keep that a secret. I mean, and for the simple fact that you know that he's going to be out for the year. So why do you keep something like that a secret? Now, you know, obviously we're getting into something fairly current here with Fajardo with regards to his abdominal injury, and even Wes Cates in the 2007 season. The last three games were something else with regards to, you know, trying to keep him on the field. You understand that, you want to somewhat be fair to the player and to the team and make sure that you don't give something away that the other team can use against you. But at the same time, if a person is not going to play at all, then
why hide it?
Why hide it? Yeah. If he's got an ACL tear, he's out for the year. An Achilles tendon surgery is coming up on another player. Those players are gone for the year, and there's no sense hiding that.
I'm going to get into the Westgate story in a minute and maybe a little reflection. But just on the Cody Fajardo thing, obviously you're following it closely. I don't know if you know anything. I can clearly tell you, swear on my child's eyes, I have no idea what his status is. I'm just following the coverage like everybody else. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
Tell me on Sunday when they run out of the tunnel. There's a school of thought that maybe it's not an oblique at all, that this is all a bait and switch and a ruse. Would you go with that or not?
I don't think I would do that. For the simple fact that the fact that he didn't play the last game is an indication that he does have something. Now, you know, I mean, for them to put first place on the line and not play him, I'm not sure that they would do that unless there was actually something wrong. So I don't think I've never experienced a coaching staff or a management staff that would do that. And so if you're, you know, as you said, as the previous guest before me, first place is a big deal. I mean, it gives you one step closer to the Grey Cup, and that's what this game is all about. Is getting the Grey Cup. And so I think, I think he does have something. They wouldn't just sit him out with first place on the line and a bye to the Western Final.
Oh, clearly there's something.
Yes.
Question is it the oblique that's said? And I'm not necessarily purporting a conspiracy theory here, because if it is a ruse, I'm saying don't hold it against them. This is like playing poker. Yeah. That's what happens this time of year. And by the way, I talk a lot, and the guys that come through here do too, like the Nate Davises and the Razovich and Andrew Green, your friends that say how the game's changed from when they played. It has. But what hasn't changed is what's going on right now.
Right. Right.
Injuries at this time of year.
Yeah, injuries at this time of year are crucial. And, it's sad to go through a whole year with a quarterback like Fajardo. And all of a sudden, he's got a problem at the end of the year. But that isn't the first time that's happened. There's not much you can do about that. It's all you can do is try and salvage what you have got and deal with the problems at hand. Now what Fajardo has, I can speculate. He's got an oblique strain. Now, you know what the question is. Now, where is that oblique strain? Is it mid-substance? Is it off a rib? Off your pelvis? You know, I mean, there's different areas that where this problem can come from, and obviously you have to deal with them differently based on those different scenarios. So that's just a general term. But who knows exactly where the injury has occurred? Is it off a bone? Or is it in mid-substance of the muscle? Those are all big factors that the medical staff has to deal with, and same with the player.
Well, I'm enjoying the coverage. I, for Cody's sake, because I've gotten to know him, hope the best for him. But I've enjoyed what people are kicking around about this, and some are medical professionals that are saying, and you would know this, that you can't shoot up an oblique muscle with a cortisone shot and still play versus some other parts of your body you can. Like with Wes Cates and that broken foot in the 07 playoffs, what do you remember about that?
Well, we were getting into the final part of the season. I think it was the semifinal. I think that's when we first. He had a fractured midfoot bone. It wasn't displaced, and obviously you have some ligament damage. That occurs with it. But the main thing was it wasn't displaced, and so we could inject that and block the pain, and so that he could play. But the trouble is when you do that, you have to do it twice. You have to do it at the start of the game, and you have to do it at halftime, because it just doesn't last long enough. For the most part, we've injected people once, and by the third quarter, boom, before third quarter's over, you got to do it again. So we automatically inject them twice before the game and mid game. So, but at the same time, he could not practice very much. It was the semifinals, the Western Final, and the Grey Cup game. And I would venture to guess that after doing that six times in three games, that I'm not sure Wes Cates would have lasted another game. So it isn't something that you just frivolously want to do. You do it based on the nature of the playoffs that are coming up and the amount of time that you have left. And so you play each game one at a time when it comes to this time of the year, and you try and put your best athletes forward during that game.
See, that's why I think everybody's enjoying this chat with you, because... Like, how closely are you watching what's going on with Winnipeg and Strebler? Yeah,
Strebler,
right? Take it away.
Yeah, Strebler. In my opinion, it sounds things that you hear on TV, and you don't know whether they're actually factual. But supposedly he has a hairline fracture that I heard from one of the announcers, and then he's got some ligament tears or strains or whatever. And so he's probably in the same category as the Wes Cates. And so they said he was limping before the game, but all of a sudden game time rolls around, he's running around like there's no tomorrow. So obviously, I think I shouldn't say obviously, but probably he was injected. Taped and sent out there ready to go, knowing full well that you've only got maybe three games at the most left to play, period. And so for three games you can do that, but this is something you don't do at the start of the year or even in the middle of the year. You have to let those injuries heal on a more natural basis. But when it comes time to playoff time, that's when you pull out those stops.
Matt Dominguez says it. Regular season makes all-stars, playoffs make legends. And you talk about Wes Cates and what he did there, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yes.
So, and fortunately for Wes, because he's in here a lot.
Yes.
And I don't know if you see him much, but he's moving good. He's feeling fine. Yep. He actually feels really lucky that he got out of the game as physically well as he did, given some of the things that happened to him.
Yeah, I run into Wes all the time, and I always met, and I shouldn't say always, but I mentioned to him quite often that that what he went through in that playoff, I respect. I respect a player that that gives it his all, and most players do, but somebody that has gone through that, I really have a lot of admiration and respect for a person that puts himself second and the team first.
We're going to continue this chat with Ivan after the break. First, It is our weekly WHL prospect profile for our friends at Sask Snowbeef, Ian Crosby and the gang. And this week it is Cole Fonstad. He's the pride of Estevan, Saskatchewan. He's now playing with the Everett Silvertips, who, by the way, have crept up and they're the top-rated team in the Western Hockey League in this week's rankings. Cole from Estevan, as I mentioned, won a WHL championship with the Prince Albert Raiders last year. He's a fifth-round pick of the Montreal Canadiens from the 2018 draft. And the scouting report on him from Last Word on Hockey is smooth skater with very good top-end speed and quickness, can play fast or slow the play down when needed, and has a strong two-way game. And I know they're very, very proud of Cole Fonstad in Estevan and all he's accomplished so far. He's only 5'10", 165, and still going strong, hopefully on his way to the NHL, but having a great year with the Everett Silvertips. So thank you to the guys for picking Cole Fonstad this week, and to Sask Snowbeef for their sponsorship of that feature, support of the WHL. And Sask Snowbeef is Wagyu beef, superior marbling and taste. Trust me, I've had it. They serve it at Crave Kitchen and Bar, downtown Regina. And you can also purchase it for your barbecue or whatever home cooking needs that you have at Local and Fresh in Regina. Sask Snow Beef. We'll be back with more with Ivan. Kelly Bates of the BC Lions coaching staff coming up too. It's the Rod Peterson Show on this Thursday morning on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcasts wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Cheers to the 16 guys who never back down. And to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Ivan Goodfriend with us in the bunker this morning, and upcoming Kelly Bates, BC Lions offensive line coach and the pride of Humboldt, Saskatchewan. Sports update for Seat Giant. Jean-Gabriel Pageau had a hat trick, including the game winner, as the Ottawa Senators rallied past the New Jersey Devils 4-2 Wednesday night. Also last night, Joe Pavelski scored twice, including an empty netter, as Dallas topped the Calgary Flames 3-1. And Anthony Beauvillier scored twice as the New York Islanders held off the Maple Leafs 5-4 on Long Island. Busy night around the NHL tonight, has three Canadian teams in action. First up, the Winnipeg Jets are in Florida. Later, Connor McDavid and the Oilers host Colorado. And in the late game, the Vancouver Canucks Canucks welcome Dallas. Pascal Siakam continued his hot start to the NBA season. He scored 36 points. Fred VanVleet added 30. And Toronto beat the Portland Trailblazers 114-106 in the NBA. And the Pittsburgh Steelers and Cleveland Browns are playing each other for the 135th time tonight, renewing their rivalry in front of a national TV audience on NFL's Thursday Night Football. The Steelers sit second in the AFC North with a 5-4 record. Cleveland is third in the division at 3-6, barely keeping them in the playoff conversation. That is a 7:20 kickoff tonight. On ESPN this morning, they're saying if the Browns lose tonight, Freddie Kitchens and his entire staff, which includes Chris Jones, will be fired by the end of the weekend. So there's a reason to watch. That sports update for SeatGiant.ca. Stop paying U.S. dollars for sporting events and concerts. We have all major sporting events and concert tickets in Canadian dollars. Enter promo code RPSHOW and get discounts for RPSHOW fans. Visit them at SeatGiant.ca. Well, there is a distinct BC Lions flavor to the program this week. Sean Lemon was with us last hour. Nick Lewis, their receivers coach, yesterday. And now we go out to BC to join the offensive line coach of the Lions, Kelly Bates, good friend of the program. Good morning, Coach Bates. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Ivan, you can throw those headphones on that are right under your elbow there. We got Ivan with us here, Big Ive Kelly, this morning to talk a little football. What's your breakdown and thoughts of this weekend's division finals, other than upset that you guys aren't in them, of course?
I don't know if you should be asking me, as I went 0-2 last week. But
okay.
You know, this is the best time of the year. I mean, obviously, a couple of weeks ago when the World Series was on and the NBA started up and hockey was on and CFL football is on, now the CFL playoffs, I mean, to me, I can't wait for this time of the year all year. And now that we're down to the finals, boy, oh boy. I mean, I think that just in general, what the media does in terms of, outlets like you, TSN, and everything that they do in terms of setting up what they put on TV, the way that the game is so much more hyped and out there for everybody to access, it just makes this time of year so much better. I love it.
Oh, me too. Me too. TSN really shines this time of year. You're right. And your buddy Benny on the sidelines shivers. You can hear his teeth chattering into the microphone. And at McMahon, did you notice?
It was outstanding. I loved it.
Me too. Listen, you didn't give your predictions yet. Are you going to dodge this all day or what?
You noticed that. I thought I did pretty well with that. You know what? I'm going to make an enemy of everyone from Saskatchewan. I think Winnipeg is going to come in and win. I think the machine that they've become with the two-headed beast with Strebler and Caleros, and then add to that the top running back, in my opinion, in the CFL in the playoffs right now. And then just what they've become and everything that you have to prepare for from a defensive standpoint with what they are. Understanding that they're coming in to face one of the top-ranked defenses in the CFL, but still understanding how much more prep has to go in to deal with each facet of what they've become.
So that is a Winnipeg Blue Bomber selection by Kelly. He's a former – you played in Winnipeg, too, for a bit, didn't you?
Depends how you define that, but yes, I was.
You were there. You were there. And I'm sorry in that I've got Hamilton to win. I haven't got Ives' picks just yet, but what's your take on the East Final? Because we haven't talked about that yet.
You know what? Orlando's done just such a great job in the environment and what he's created there. I mean, the amount of wins they've had this year, and for a first-year head coach, all those things. I mean, and then let's bring in the history of the crossover. We have yet to have a crossover team that has won to go on to the Grey Cup. You're facing a team that has been unstoppable all season. I don't see how there's any way that Hamilton doesn't win that game.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And Ive, you can jump in at any time here. I didn't know how to ask this next question. Wayne in Victoria is watching this morning, and he's phrased it. I'll use his question, and you answer it how you want. He says, Kelly, you did a good job of saving the BC Lions offensive line. Good job, man. That's Wayne in Victoria. Now, you're one of the humblest guys I've ever met. And I know a lot, but you're one of the humblest. So you can answer that however you want. I know it was tough for you to go in there. Brian Chu is of that offensive line brethren. You guys are all brothers. But it did kind of take a turn upward when you got there, Kelly. So answer that however you want. Your take on that situation this year.
Well, you know, I appreciate the kind words. You know, we always talk about football being the ultimate team sport, and really that's what it is. There are so many facets and so many intricacies that have to work together to have success. And, you know, A, we needed buy-in from the men, and that group that was in that room with me, tremendous men, professionals. They want to win. They wanted to improve. And at that point in the season, when they were 1-9, I mean, they easily could have packed it in, and they didn't. So, you know, it's kudos to them. Secondly, I mean, our offensive coordinator, Jairus Jackson, those first couple of games, if I was to give you the numbers for how many times we actually dropped back past, I think it'd blow your mind in terms of the CFL game. He allowed us to get our footing under us. He allowed us to install a system that the guys were able to learn on the fly. And, you know, just in terms of the way that staff, and in particular on the offensive side, because that's who I was working with, the way they welcomed me in and set me up to have success, and again, with the way Ed and Devon allowed me to come in and be a part of the organization, all those things have to work together. And, you know, to be one little part of that cog was a tremendous experience, and I'll be forever thankful and grateful.
Well, I'll tell you what, your first game back was in Montreal, and you jumped in feet first. Yeah. It was actually later on in the week, I had Devon Claybrooks on the air, and we talked about that, and he was real happy with the job that you did. And the one thing about the BC organization, it's a tremendous organization, isn't it, in terms of the people that work on both the business and football side, and they put probably more guests on this show than any team in the CFL this year. And what I get out of Vancouver people is that if the Lions were winning, that place would be full. But you know what your record was this year? You missed the playoffs, and you saw what the attendance was. But it's not like they don't love the Lions or know that they're playing, but it's you got to win in that town.
Yeah, it's a very unique market. I mean, anytime you get to the cities, you know, you've seen it with us, you've seen it with Toronto, you've seen it with Montreal. Winning is ultimately the key factor that allows you to have success and have people in the stands. When we came here as players in 2002, I can remember being in our first exhibition game and having maybe 10, 11,000 people in the stands. And it took us 5, 6 years to build that up to where we then led the CFL in attendance. But as you know, in this market where there are so many different things to do, I mean, you have the Whitecaps, you have the Canucks in terms of sports, you have lacrosse. I mean, you have the Giants just down the road in Langley now. You had, an AHL team on Abbotsford at that time. There's so many other, you know, the Vancouver Canadiens. There's just so many other things that you can do. And that's just sports, outside of sports, what you can do. So if you're not winning, if you're not putting a product on the field that's exciting, you can lose that fan base pretty quickly. Not that they don't love and support the Lions, but that's the reality and the nature of what you deal with out here in BC.
Right. They love a winner. Who doesn't? But at least you know where they're coming from. And hey, you mentioned Langley. Our viewers want your take on the Langley Rams, Saskatoon Hilltops in the Canadian Bowl. I assume you'll be at the game.
Yes, sir. As a proud Saskatoon Hilltop alumni, I look forward to attending that win for the Hilltops.
Oh, there you go. A confident guy, Kelly Bates. All right, Kelly, appreciate it. I don't know when we're going to get you on again, so do you want to just give a pump for the Kelly Bates football camp? Have you got a date designated for this year yet?
Rod, you're top shelf. You bet we do. The first weekend in May, I think it's May 2nd and 3rd. That camp doesn't go any year without the amazing support of our sponsor, Dave Dubay, who is a great supporter of amateur football in Saskatchewan throughout the prairies. That camp is my favorite time of the year, and we sell it out every year. Any information, just go to kellybates.ca, and registration should open in February sometime.
Yeah, it's a very special camp, and you're a special guy for doing it and continuing to do it as long as you have. So, Kelly, my best to the family. Say hi to Smiling Lyle, your dad for me. And if you get home this winter, look me up, please.
I will, Rod. Thanks, Rod. Thanks. Nice to see you, Ivan.
Nice to see you, Kelly.
Kelly Bates joining us from Vancouver today. Clark's telling me to take a break here, so we will real briefly, but yeah, you can take those headphones off, Ive. Super guy right there, and I kind of feel for those guys. You get it. You've been around it. What were you, 46 years with a rider, something like that? 48?
I don't know. Let's see.
Something ridiculous.
Yeah, well, 46, I guess, counting
those. Wow, that's a lot. Yeah. And I just, so here's him. What did Nick Lewis tell us yesterday? He himself is with the Lions until he hears otherwise. He comes in wearing a Lions parka. I assume Kelly's are the same thing. I'm talking to the Argos guys, and they say Chaim doesn't know what he's doing next year, right? And that stat. It is a hard way to live, man. That is a hard way to live.
That's right. You know, and the coaching profession is not exactly for the faint of heart because, you know, particularly if you've got a family and you know, you have young kids or kids, I mean, you have to drag them around wherever you go, and it's tough on them. But you're right. It's a difficult profession, and I don't envy them.
No, I don't. And I think that's why. Well, the other thing is you see the hours they put in. I mean, you put in a lot of hours. Would I be right in saying they put in more?
Oh, yes. They're well, you know, that's something else that has changed, in my opinion. You know, you've got four or five people now that break down film for the coaches. The coaches used to do all that stuff by themselves, and they still do. But you've got four or five people in the tech part of the team that really break down film for the coaches now, and so they streamline it for them to be able to do some fine points on it. But that's another part of the game that's changed greatly, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I also know the Riders have one of the most sophisticated. I can't even say it. Yeah. One of the most sophisticated video systems in all of pro football.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You know they do, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But that's why, and I'm starting to come out of where I was for the last 20 years. But I didn't like to criticize the coaches on the air because I see the work that they put in.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And you see why they get so upset when they do get criticized because they're doing the best they can. They put so much work into it, and it doesn't always work out, and it's not even necessarily their fault.
That's right. I mean, you can put. I mean, they all put, you know, a lot of work into it. Whether you're 1-9 or 9-1.
Exactly.
And so sometimes, you know, you do all that work and you wonder whether it's of any benefit, but it has to be done, and it just boils down to talent. But they still have to do the work.
Ivan, you good to stick with us for one more segment?
Sure.
All right. Sure. Ivan, good friend with us, Hall of Fame Rider therapist. We'll be back with more comments and questions. We're taking them on this weekend's CFL Division Finals on the Prairie Mobile text line 306-840-8777. I'll get to some of those. Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Buy now, pay later at Prairie Mobile. All smartphones are $0 every day using SaskTel Plus pricing. We'll be right back on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Your favorite movies. Your episode after episode after episode season marathon. All in one beautiful little box. With Max TV Stream from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer, you can experience the best of live TV and movies on demand, in home or on the go. Just $99. Entertainment your way, anyway. Get your Max TV Stream media box today for just $99. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
My name is Karen Allen. I was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2007. The treatments themselves were difficult, but the care and attention that I received was phenomenal. But what if, with the advances in technology that have been made, having that better equipment would increase survival rates by 1%, maybe 2%. That's people.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram.
time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee, Caliber Coffee today. Ivan Goodfriend with us in the bunker. Coming up tomorrow, it will be a football Friday, and we're very excited about that, taking us into division final weekend. Sean in Saskatoon writes in and says, I just tuned in and don't know if this was covered, but the Riders didn't give up on Caleros. They brought him back for the 2019 season, but crap happens. Injuries happen. And it's interesting that he just tuned in and asked that, because that's our poll question today for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Did the Riders give up on Zach Caleros? And on our Facebook voters, 81.4% say no, the Riders didn't give up on Zach Caleros. 18.6% say they did. Twitter, very similar numbers. 80% saying no, the Riders didn't give up on him. And it never even crossed my mind to think that they gave up on Zach Caleros. But I'm seeing this coverage coming out of Winnipeg this week, and that's the angle. And I haven't been able to figure out yet, is that Zach that's saying that, or is that the reporters that are saying that? Is it the Bomber coaches that are saying that? And Ivan Goodfriend, is that a motive? Is that an angle the Bombers are trying to play coming into the game, like a chip on their shoulder type thing? I don't know.
Well, it could be. That could well be. And I mean, you try and get every bit of leverage that you can when you come to this time of the year. But you know, I don't think the Riders gave up on Zach Caleros. I think the fact that Cody Fajardo came in and played as well as he did, and with less health issues that Zach Caleros had, so. No, I don't think they gave up on him. I think it was just one of those things where a player like Cody came in and did a fantastic job, and he's probably more of the future than Zach Caleros would be.
You know, as a matter of fact, had Caleros not just taken the ball and ran with it, literally, they probably wouldn't have traded Zach away. You know, you just said
probably not.
No. Cody's play made Zach expendable.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And then, and with this history of concussions and the fact that, the fact that Cody played as well as he did, and who knows what his status is going to be at the end of the year. He may decide just to pack it in because of his health issues. I'm just speculating here. I'm not suggesting that he is, but you have to take that into consideration. I mean, he's had a fair number of concussions, and I'm not sure how many more a person can take.
No, me either. But it's a hell of a story, and I can see why Winnipeg would be spinning it that way coming in or whatever. And Zach, back to what we were in the break when we talked about this. You spent a little bit of time around Zach in a training camp of 2018. It was enough time to realize how good of a guy he is, how intense he is, how hard of a worker he is. He's everything you'd want, right?
He's a great person. I mean, he's a very nice person, well respected in the locker room, and as you say, he worked hard at his craft and did all the film work that's required of a quarterback, and he put in his hours. So Zach is a great person, and I wish him the best in the future.
Well, it is a very odd situation. I'll say it again. I was on the air in Winnipeg this morning on ASTV. The host, Theo, talked about Zach's time in Toronto. Like, if he was healthy enough to play in Winnipeg, why weren't the Argos playing him given all the quarterback problems they had with McLeod, Bethel Thompson, and James Franklin? I mean, it's a good question.
Yes, it is. And, to be quite honest, I'm not sure he was healthy or fit to play. Otherwise, he may have played in Toronto. So I have no idea, because I mean they had about four or five quarterbacks in that camp the whole year, Toronto Argonauts, and so I'm just assuming that they didn't play him because he probably assuming that he wasn't ready to play until near the end, and then they just decided to trade him, and so who knows why Pinball Clemens came in there maybe he had a say in that. I don't know.
It is a hell of a story though, isn't it?
Oh yeah. Great.
Yeah. It's a great story.
It's what makes the sports world go around.
No kidding. It keeps us coming back and why we love it. Prairie Mobile text line. Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel dealer. Tell them I sent you. They've told me to say that, and I like it. Tell them I sent you. Maybe they'll give you a deal. Nashville in Saskatoon writes in, and he says, there's reports that John Bowman is considering returning for another year. What do you guys think? Is it time for him to hang it up? I think it would be his 15th season with the Alouettes on the defensive line, maybe 16th. I'm all for playing as long as you can. If they want him, why wouldn't he keep playing?
Well, I think he started out in Calgary, did he not?
That's going back a long ways. I don't remember.
2 years, and then I think they traded him to Montreal. So, but I mean, he has played well. I mean, he played well this year, and I mean, of course, Charlton Hughes has been. Of course, he's not quite as old as John, but he's close. And so sometimes team will, for whatever reason, will give up on an older player, and you know, and 9 times out of 10, that person who goes to another team ends up having another 1 or 2 good years a lot of times. So John Bowman played well this year. I mean, I'm amazed at him every year when I watch him.
He doesn't look like he's slowing down.
No.
And by the way, you know it yourself, what it's like to go through the bad times and then get into the good times again. You enjoy them even more.
Oh, yes.
Right? And that's what it looks like's coming with Montreal. Yeah, so why, if you're John Bowman, would you retire now?
I don't think he will.
I don't think he will.
Unless he's just lost interest in the game or lost his enthusiasm for the game or health issues that can be associated with the game. But I think he had a pretty good year.
Well, he did have a great year. And the thing is, you have to understand football players. I don't know that hockey players are as much this way as football players, but Ron Estay one time. You remember the old Swamp Dog. You had to love him. If you know him, you love him. Yeah. Riders D-line coach from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, as he would say. He told me one time, he's a Canadian Football Hall of Famer, Grey Cup champion with the Eskimos, part of those great teams. He said he would give his right arm for just one more play. And you know he meant it.
Yes, he did.
Just one more play. I mean, these guys, you gotta literally drag him out of there kicking and screaming.
Right.
Right?
Oh, yes. I know that when Farragelli was still, well, we're talking 1981, 82, Farragelli was trying to get Ron Estay to come here and play when he became a free agent, and we even had him in the office there. So, but he decided to stay in Edmonton. I don't know why. They just won 5 Grey Cups in a row,
right?
And we weren't very good at that point, but he was a great guy then. So,
well, knowing Swamp, probably came down to money, would be my guess.
Oh yeah, probably. I would assume so.
It always does. Well, the funny thing, we were talking about George Reed. That's how we started here. You talk about you young-timers or youngsters, pull up a chair and gather around. Ivan and I could tell a lot of stories, but both George Reed and Estay said they chose the CFL over the NFL because it paid more. And who would believe that, Ivan, in 2019? Who would believe that that was ever the case?
Nobody now, but let's face it, in the early 80s, remember Cousineau? And Overstreet and a lot of those guys that played for Montreal, Ferragamo, those players came up here because they were getting paid more than the NFL was offering them. So the early 80s were great times in the CFL. And then all of a sudden, here again with the TV rights and things like that changed drastically. And so the money wasn't quite as great. But for a while there, people were coming here.
A good while, though, because George came in the 60s, Estay came in the 70s, and you're talking about guys in the 80s.
Right.
So for a long time, the dollar was par. Yeah. CFL teams paid more, and nobody would ever believe it. We could do a show on that sometime. Right. And why the CFL stayed here and the NFL went here is another story to get, you know, and I'm not sure everybody knows the exact reason. Everybody has their thoughts. Corey from Regina writes in on the Prairie Mobile text line and says, do you guys think Babcock will survive the season in Toronto? Just hang on, because coming back for the overtime segment, when Dupes joins me in the studio, and maybe we'll bring producer Clark on or get his thoughts, because they're the Leafs fans. Ivan and I don't care for the Leafs. Are you a hockey fan at all?
Not anymore. I used to be a lot more when I was a kid. But
do you have a team?
Well, I used to be a Rangers fan, believe it or not. That's in the original six. So that's how
good
far
for you.
Back I go.
Good for you. I wonder, I told him, or mentioned earlier, from Leader, Saskatchewan. Story time. I was coming home from Etonia, Saskatchewan. You must have spent some time there growing up, I would think.
No.
Well, you know where it is. I think it's 18 kilometers south of Kindersley.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was speaking at a banquet with Wendell Clark. And at 10:30 at night at that banquet, I figured it's time to go home. It was 4.5-5 hours from there to Regina. And I'm going driving through the middle of the night. No cell coverage in that area. It was, at that time, 2016, I think. I'm like, how do we not have cell coverage in any area of this province? And then I'm thinking, I haven't seen a car for about 2 hours. If it's minus 50 and my car breaks down, I'm dead. And then I'm driving through Leader, and there's this one sharp turn you had to take to go from that area towards Moose Jaw and then Regina. And I'm driving around going, this is Ivan's hometown. There's not much to see, Ive.
Not anymore.
There was?
There was at one time, for what I remember.
But, is that right?
Yeah, but it's pretty much closed down. As a matter of fact, the hospital I was born in was a house. So, I mean, they didn't even build a hospital there until after I was born. So, anyways.
Wow. You made it what it is today.
Yeah. Made it what it is today, right.
Ivan, great to see you as always. Thanks for the chuckles and enjoy the games. And hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Overtime segment is coming up next. Dupes will be joining us here in the bunker. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Now, back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. And boy, do we have a special treat for you. Just hang on. You'll find out why. But this show has just flown by. We got a lot of social media clips that are going to come out of this show, I have a feeling, today. Sean Lemon dropped some real awesome bombs here, which I'll get to. Actually, I'll say it right now. He basically said Bo Levi Mitchell, with a little tell the day before the game, gave away the game plan for the Calgary Stampeders to the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. I love it. And Ivan's thoughts on Zach Caleros were very good. You just heard those. But if anybody has seized Darren DuPont, can you please notify us? We don't know where he is. So we've brought producer Clark into the bunker. That is the treat. How you doing, Clark?
Don't adjust your TV sets.
No, that is his red hair. That is not a Sedin. That is Clark Monroe.
I don't think the Sedins can grow this poor of a beard.
Hey, it's a beauty, Clark. It's a real beauty.
I'll take it.
You heard the question that I had. I wanted to bring you on. I actually tipped you off that I wanted to bring you on, didn't I? Where's the guy here? Corey in Regina. On the Prairie Mobile text line, Prairie Mobile, your authorized SaskTel Mobility dealer. Do you guys think Babcock will survive the season in Toronto? Look, 95% of our viewers are in Western Canada. You know that, right?
Yeah.
But I also understand there's a lot of Leaf fans out here, and Babcock's from here. So I get it. We can talk about it. They're 9-7-4. You know where they are in the standings on a daily basis. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
They're the holder of the last wild card spot as we sit here today.
Yep.
So is this like crazy fire the coach talk that all rabid nuts fan bases have? Or is there something to this?
Well, it wouldn't be the first good coach that Toronto's run out of town. So I'll say that in advance. But
Who are you speaking about specifically?
Well, just
a lot of them.
Who hasn't Toronto ran out of town?
Okay,
at some
fair.
Point?
Pat Quinn.
Exactly.
Randy Carlyle.
All sorts. Not even just hockey. Like, look at every sport almost. But,
okay. Dwayne Casey.
Yeah. Oh. Exactly. Well.
Sorry. Sorry.
On Babcock, though, it's such a tough situation because the Leafs. Their upper management wants to go in one direction so bad, and Babcock is who he is, and I don't think he's going to change, and I don't think he has any queries, any any holding back on saying how he wants to coach and the players he wants. And Steve mentioned it in his segment too.
Steve Dangle
mentioned it when he was on our show here. Babcock, when he doesn't like a player, it's permanent and he doesn't change. And you've seen it over the last few years with guys going in the doghouse and not coming out.
Very common.
And
Follow the Leafs as closely as you. Who are some of those guys? Was Bozak one?
No, Bozak was one that he overplayed because he liked Bozak so much.
Okay.
And that's why you saw guys saying that Bozak's not a first line center. He shouldn't be playing with Phil Kessel. That was before Babcock's time, but it was the same scenario where if he likes a guy and maybe he shouldn't be playing 20 minutes a night, Babcock plays him. He just loves certain guys. Roman Polak is a great example. I don't know if Steve mentioned Roman Polak.
No, he didn't.
Right-handed defenseman, big rugged Czech Republic guy, wasn't great with the puck, couldn't really pass the puck as an NHL defenseman, but he played 20 minutes a night and he was the penalty killer. He was the big rugged guy and Babcock put him out there all the time. And a lot of people disagreed. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Brandon Shanahan and Kyle Dubas, in my opinion, handles the situation, because clearly Mike Babcock doesn't agree with the way that they want to go. And he's got 3 years left in his contract. So
at $6.5 million,
I think it's more than that.
More
than that? I think it's eight or something along those lines.
Did you watch the game last night?
Well, I watched the first two periods, and then we had our playoff slow pitch game at Ballers Rec Room.
Right.
So I watched the third period there, but it was weird because they started very good. 13, 14 minutes, it looked like they were dominating. And as always this season, I think 15 games now this season, they've let up the first goal. And then they just get back on their heels. Islanders score again. They fight back in the second period, and then the Islanders took over. So it's a weird team. They have the talent. They should have, like Steve Dangle said it too, he's the highest paid coach. They should outcoach every team.
Were they outcoached from what you saw?
I think so, yeah. And wow. I think they have been lots this year. That's the problem, and it just doesn't make sense because they have the talent to win games.
Holy smokes.
There's your Leafs analysis.
That's pretty good. That's probably better than Steve Dangle's, by the way. But do you have a Riders Bombers take?
Yeah. So I think we saw it last week, and I was on, I came on with, Duke at the end of Friday's show, and we talked about Winnipeg's rushing game. And I don't know, the Riders defensive line is going to have to do a really good job this week to shut down that rushing game, because it's the difference maker in this type of weather. And I think our rushing game in Saskatchewan here is also very good. So it's going to be a battle of who gets more rushing yards, I think, honestly. Who can take control of that line and win the trench battle. So I think both teams have the ability to do it. Maybe the Riders' offensive line is a smidge better than Winnipeg's, but that defensive line, Micah Johnson's going to earn his contract this week. Zach Evans, if he can play, is going to earn his contract this week. They got to plug those holes. And if Strevler plays, they have to figure out a way to take the ball out of his hands or make him throw it, which isn't probably going to happen.
Well, the rest of the league has figured out that Winnipeg is pretty dangerous coming in here for this game. I mean,
exactly.
Who said it yesterday? One of the Bombers said that they are, at the quarterback position, a two-headed dragon with Strevler and Zach Kolaros, because they're so opposite.
Yeah.
Right? And you don't really know what's coming at you.
Yeah.
And I could just see that there's Rider fans looking at Sean Lemon's prediction that Winnipeg's going to win and Kelly Bates' prediction that Winnipeg's going to win. And Rider fans are going, how could you possibly think that they're going to win? It's in Saskatchewan. It's against our Riders. But this is what the league's saying, folks.
Yeah. And it's not just those two. Who was it that was on last week? We were talking about Lapolice's strategy and how he operates is that he will attack a strength, make you sit back on that strength, and then completely flip it on your head and attack the weakness when you're not expecting it. And what the Riders need to look out for is if Chris Strevler does play, which we don't know for sure yet if he's going to, but if he does, they cannot get baited into stopping him in the box every time, because one of those times, I have a weird feeling Chris Strelber is going to vomit
deep.
And it's going to pay. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt.
You saw the gifts that I brought in, hey?
Yeah, I know.
Do you want some of this?
I'm going to raid that after the show.
I got to say this again. Thank you to Hanley School. I was out there talking to 150 of their students yesterday, grades 8 to 12 on mental health and addictions, and they just loaded me up. It's the home of the Sabres. Hoodies, hats, scarves, these shorts. I was thought of you.
I'm snagging a shorts of you. For sure. Yeah.
I said, this is right down your alley. You wear these all the time. So thank you to Mr. Anderson and all the people in Hanley and the school for having me, and I appreciate it. And that's it. Tomorrow's going to be epic. Like the game Sunday is going to be epic, and tomorrow will be like the pregame show for it.
Yeah, we got it's all football. So Phyllis, if you're watching from yesterday, we are talking all football tomorrow, Football Friday, Frenzy Friday. Kirk Penton from The Athletic is going to be on the show. Marshall Ferguson is going to give us the Hamilton breakdown.
Sweet.
We got
Gary Lawless
coming from Vegas, who's going to give us his Winnipeg angles. Obviously, of course, he's going to shove his Winnipeg angles down our throats. Why wouldn't he? And we got Mike Abumestrick stopping in, and there'll be some others too. So it'll be football, playoff. Wow. We're having a big football day.
A smorgasbord.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
By the way, I was remiss in mentioning this. This is new. Sports on tap tonight for the tap. What do they call it? Regina's only drive-through beer store?
Yeah, the liquor store. Yeah.
Liquor store?
Yeah.
Sports on tap tonight. Prince Albert, get out to the Arthauser Center tonight. You got Canada versus Russia. WHL All-Stars against Russia. Last night, the Dub Stars won. Cale Addison scored the winner for the Dub Stars. The six-game series ends tonight in PA, Canada versus Russia. So get out there, get your ticket. And in the SJ tonight, Humboldt at Flin Flon. There's a classic matchup there.
Yeah.
And two teams that I'm very fond of, the Notre Dame Hounds are at the LaRange Ice Wolves tonight. Phil Leroy, his Hounds, taking on Killer Kaminsky and the Ice Wolves. So if you're in those markets, get out. That's sports on tap tonight for the tap. And Clark, thank you for pinch hitting.
Yeah.
Let's go beat up DuPont.
Well, you know, I went 9-for-10 in slow pitch last night. DuPont only went 8-for-10. So I figured.
Not surprising. Pinch hit for him here.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody, for Football Friday right here on Facebook Live.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.